Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Bible clearly teaches that God desires all people to be saved. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Heard this a couple weeks ago on Trinity Sunday, and we know the verse very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John's first epistle, we read, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. In the book of Hebrews, in more than one place, we find that Jesus offered himself up once and for all as the sacrifice for sin. But not only has Christ won salvation for all, he wills that all receive the salvation that he has won. Cry goes out, as we heard in the parable today, come, for everything is now ready, and everything is indeed ready. Christ has done it all. Heaven is prepared for man through the work of Jesus Christ alone. And so we find in our Old Testament lesson, for example, that wisdom not only prepared the feast, slaughtered the beasts, and mixed the wine, but even built the house and hewn the seven pillars in which the feast would be held. Christ has done it all. In him there is forgiveness, life and salvation, righteousness, peace, and joy here in time. In him alone there is fullness of joy before the throne of God for all eternity. Come, for everything is now ready. Joys of heaven are pictured not like a potluck, as something to which you need to bring a dish, something which you need to contribute to, but a banquet to which you simply need to show up and attend. And that you might attend this heavenly feast, Christ sent forth his apostles to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, to make disciples of all nations. And still today, he calls out to all people for whom salvation was won through the preaching of the gospel, to all sinners without exception. For again, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Room at the heavenly table for everyone. We heard in the parable, the master of the house wills that his house be filled. Indeed, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In our parable today, the master sends his servants to call those who had been invited earlier, who knew full well about the banquet that was about to take place. But then he also sends his servants to the crippled and the poor, the blind and the lame, even out to the highways and the hedges. The Israelites of old had been called by God, going all the way back to Father Abraham, whom he called. Again, we heard about that just last week. But he didn't just call them once through the patriarch Abraham or through Isaac or Jacob. He called to them again and again and again through the prophets, priests. Finally, in time, he called them through his only begotten Son, who came unto his own. And even when they rejected him, even when they put him to death on the cross, still God continued to call. He sent to them the apostles, who were commissioned to go to Jerusalem and to Judea first. We find in the book of Acts that Paul would go and visit the synagogues first. God did not give up on the people of old. He continued to call the Jewish people through the gospel. But also to the Greek, writes Paul. For it was foretold throughout the Old Testament that the Gentiles would also glorify God for his mercy. In Christ, the Gentiles would also hope. And so those disciples were not simply to remain there in Jerusalem and in Judea, but then also go forth to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Peter, yes, he was sent to the Jew, but then to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, having been taught that God had made all things clean. Paul was appointed the apostle to the Gentiles, And he traveled throughout the Roman Empire proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, though he admitted himself to be Hebrew of Hebrews. This was God's definite plan and arrangement. The gospel call go out to all people, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And you're included in that too. But it is truly God's plan and arrangement that you should be invited to his heavenly banquet, that you should hear this call also. It might seem sometimes that it's mere happenstance that you heard the word of God, mere chance that you were born into a Lutheran family, luck that you had a Lutheran neighbor or coworker that invited you to church, coincidence that you happened to visit this church on a random Sunday. But make no mistake, your hearing of the gospel was no accident. God willed for you to hear it. It was his plan and purpose. He seeks and saves the lost, and both with intention, seeking with intention, saving with intention. And so again, we find in this parable, he sends out his servants, his messengers, to invite everyone with a purpose. Go to those who had been invited. Go to the poor and crippled and blind and lame. Go to the highways and hedges. Compel people to come in. How earnestly God desires your salvation and the salvation of all, that he not only prepared everything, made everything ready, but calls everyone to come and share in the joy of the feast. And yet we also know from Holy Scripture that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, we shouldn't take these words of Jesus to mean that he doesn't really mean to save all people, that his preparations were incomplete, or that his invitation is insincere. These words don't mean that God really only wants to save part of mankind and the rest he wants to damn to hell, or that Jesus didn't die for the sins of the whole world, but rather for a small number of chosen sinners, or that the Holy Spirit doesn't really work through the Word of God whenever and wherever it is found. Rather, when Jesus says many are called but few are chosen, this means that few actually receive the word and follow it in faith. Most, sad to say, most despise the word. Most will not heed that invitation and come to Christ and his kingdom. We know that the call of God, as earnest as it is not irresistible. It can be rejected. It often is rejected. And the cause for this rejection is not God's will, but man and his perverse will, which resists the Holy Spirit. God, for his part, wants to work through the word. He wants to work through the gospel. As Jesus says, "How often would I gather you together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not." Again, the reason is not that God is unwilling to save those who hear his word, but rather that many turn away from God and his word. They grieve the Holy Spirit. They prefer to remain in the filth of the world and open up their hearts as homes to the devil. This we find in our parable today as well. How many reject the gospel because they don't think that the gospel is worth their time or attention. The guests who were first invited to the feast refused the call to come when everything was prepared, everything was ready. So it was among the people of Israel, among the Gentiles, among people throughout the centuries, and still today. God's earnest, generous, repeated invitation is rejected with vain, invalid excuses, just like in that parable. Some make the excuse of money. I've got a job. I've got to earn a living. I've got to provide for my family. I've got to take care of my business. Others making an excuse of leisure. This is the only time I can relax, only day I can sleep in. I have to enjoy life. I've got to have time for play. There are those who make an excuse of family. Well, I've got a wife and kids to take care of. I haven't spent much time with my friends. I have to focus on the people in my life. And some are even so indifferent that they don't bother making an excuse at all. They just don't come. In every case, the word is diminished and the world is prioritized. How foolish it is to reject the word for the sake of the world. The world is passing away. The word of the Lord endures forever. The world is well worth leaving behind. The kingdom of Christ is well worth sacrificing everything in order to enter it. Moses writes in the Psalms, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone, we fly away. But the kingdom of heaven is an everlasting feast. It's unending joy and gladness. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is ruled by a gracious and merciful Lord who does not remember your sins, but grants you to live in his home, to eat at his table, to drink from his cup. He wills to wipe away every tear from your eyes. It's far, far better to be with the Lord than to remain in this fallen world. For indeed, a day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Well, should we rather be a doorkeeper in the house of our God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness? Whatever gain we have, we ought to count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, counting everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. As we heard in our parable, God won't permit his invitation to be mocked and despised. He who is gracious and merciful is also holy and righteous. So he calls and calls and calls again. There comes a day when he will stop calling. There comes a point where he declares conclusively, none of those who were invited shall taste my banquet. The most frightening things in Holy Scripture is when God turns sinners over to their hardness of heart, their own wicked intentions. Finally declaring, seeing they will not see, hearing they will not perceive. Again, as I said before, please be clear about this, that what excludes a sinner from the heavenly feast is his own stubborn unbelief, his rejection of God, who truly desires the salvation of every sinner. But there's another reason why many reject the gospel, besides pride and a love of the things of this world. There are also many who would reject the gospel because they don't think they're worthy of it. To a certain extent, they're right. Through the conviction of God's law, they've come to know God's righteous demands and their utter inability to keep them. They feel that full weight of their former sins and life. They know the filthiness of their own righteousness. They know the corruption of their hearts. They recognize the great debt that they owe God. They acknowledge the temporal and eternal punishment that they justly deserved. And so they think themselves unworthy of the heavenly invitation. Again, they're not wrong, but they're wrong in figuring that they must first make themselves worthy, better themselves, cleanse themselves, earn their way into the feast. But again, the call is, come, for everything is now ready. Wisdom has prepared it all. Nothing is left for you to do but hear and believe the gospel. Recognize through faith that God desires your salvation, the salvation of all, sinner and saint. Wisdom's call goes out to those who are simple, to those who lack sense, saying, turn and hear. Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed. Not just to the wise, the learned, the simple and those who are senseless. And the master, in the parable, sends his servants out to those living on the streets and the lanes of the city, to those who are poor and crippled and blind and lame. Think about, they were indeed crippled and blind and lame. How could they enter into the feast? They had to be brought there, carried, borne on the back of the servants. And then when that is not enough, the master compels the servants to go along to the highways and hedges and compel everyone they can find to come in. The gospel call goes out to everyone, including, perhaps especially, poor, miserable sinners. No matter how spiritually poor, crippled, blind, or lame you may be, Jesus desires you to be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. No matter how few your good works may be, no matter how many your sins may be, No matter how far you have fallen from God, know that he does not desire your death, but rather that you turn to him and live. Come, for everything is ready, he says. It is all ready for all. Do not let your sins or unworthiness keep you away. Do not listen to the voice of your heart, which would accuse you of your unworthiness. Instead, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to his calling. Listen to the invitation. He declares you worthy by grace alone for the sake of his holy bitter sufferings and death alone. When that law has done its work, when you are convicted of your sin, then open your ears to the gospel call. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Still today, God calls to all to come and enter into his feast, both the outwardly righteous and the manifest sinner. To those who are pious, he says, come, for everything is now ready. Recognize that this invitation is not given to you because of your goodness and wisdom, that you haven't prepared your way into the feast. You cannot earn your way into the table, but come, because God is gracious to you. Take hold of him through faith alone. Trust that he has prepared this feast for you. To those who are sinners, he says, come, for everything is now ready. Come, for here is grace, forgiveness, healing, and life. Heavenly invitation is not just for those zealous, diligent Christians, but also for those who have drifted away, those who have fallen away completely, those who have never been. Come, for everything is ready. Christ has prepared it all for you too. God would not have you perish in your sins, excluded from his banquet. So repent and believe the gospel. He will receive you into his grace. He will clothe you with the robe of his righteousness and feed you with the finest of heavenly foods. Leave behind your simple way and live. Walk in the way of insight. But not the love of this world nor the weight of your sins keep you from Christ and his gospel call. For God earnestly desires your salvation, the salvation of every sinner. This is who he is, after all. He is the gracious and merciful Lord. God is love. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God, begins our gospel lesson today. The Holy Scriptures end with these words in Revelation. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. A beautiful and glorious depiction of that marriage supper indeed. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, do not doubt that God desires these blessings for you. He desires this heavenly feast for you. He wants you to receive all that he has prepared. All that is described in Revelation, in John's glorious vision of heaven, the new creation, is God's will for you, which is why he calls you now. Today, come, for everything is ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.